Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here.
Good morning.
He's a real conservative. I'm a fake liberal. And on the other side of the glass, I have no idea what her politics are, but she's a great taker, carer of her in the building.
And an historian.
Len Hall, oh, yeah, Civil War nut. So
no, not a nut. There are no Civil War nuts. They're Civil War enthusiasts.
Are there? Yeah, says one of the nuts.
Says one of the nuts.
Okay. Stephen Portnoy is on the line from CBS News. He's a congressional correspondent and news correspondent and has helped us cover all things Washington. And we appreciate you being available this morning. Good morning, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Much appreciated. All right. Well, let's talk. Let's start out, if we can, these documents. What is the early analysis of the difference and or similarities when President Trump had secreted a bunch of documents down in Florida?
Well, I could spend more time talking about the differences. Let's talk about the similarities first. At its core, what we're talking about is the potential mishandling of classified documents. That was the case in Donald Trump. Moving classified documents out of the White House down to Mar-a-Lago, keeping them there. It seems as though there might be something along those lines in this case with documents from the Obama era that were taken from the White House and it's possibly handled improperly in the way that they wound up at a think tank here in Washington with Joe Biden's name on it, the Penn Biden Center here in D.C., established by the former vice president of the University of Pennsylvania in 2017. There was an office at that facility on Capitol Hill that, or I should say near the Capitol, that was meant for the former vice president's use, and he did use it briefly from 2017 until he began his campaign for president. The discovery was made in November of last year, about a week before the midterm elections, when personal lawyers for Joe Biden were going through a locked closet, they say, and they stumbled upon, amongst other things, other boxes and other materials that were not classified, some materials that did have clear classified markings. Now, the White House says that these lawyers stopped what they were doing right away, picked up the phone, called the White House counsel's office. The White House counsel immediately notified the National Archives and said there are presidential records that have been identified at the Penn Biden Center. The next day, the National Archives went to get them. And then it seems at a certain point, the National Archives called in the Justice Department. And that's where things are, I think, going to continue to get interesting, because the Attorney General and his senior advisors seem to have tapped the U.S. Attorney in Chicago, who's a Trump appointee and a holdover from the Trump administration, to review this matter and determine whether the Justice Department ought to take any further action. When it comes to the differences between the Biden case and the Trump case, they're pretty stark. I mean, what we're talking about with Donald Trump is 300 classified materials, it's been said, kept at Mar-a-Lago in sort of an obstinate way, where the former president said a couple of things. One, that they were his. Two, that they had actually been declassified, although there's been nothing to substantiate that other than the words of the president and a couple of his former allies. The Trump lawyers sought to, in part, cooperate with the National Archives, but then the Justice Department accuses them of essentially taking part in a conspiracy to lie, because the lawyer said that all the classified material was removed from Mar-a-Lago, and then ultimately a grand jury subpoena was delivered, and then you had the serving of a search warrant where the FBI actually went in and took many more classified documents. So the two instances are not comparable in that sense, because in the Biden case, it looks like it was an incident of self-reporting. And also, the number of documents is pretty small. I mean, look, you could have the most sensitive document in the world, and it could be very important even if it's just one. So we don't know what's in these documents. We're told it's roughly 10. The one thing that we're told is they do not contain America's nuclear secrets, because there was some reporting early on in the Trump case that perhaps nuclear secrets were part of the stash in Mar-a-Lago. But other than that, we don't have a firm sense of what actually is in this material. We do know it's several years old. I mean, this dates back to the Obama era. And while some material that's meant to be classified is meant to stay classified for decades, you know, the idea of the existence of classified material, whether it did any damage to the national security because it was outside of a SCIF, a secure compartmentalized facility, is not at this moment known. But there is this ongoing review that is not yet completed that's being run by the U.S. Attorney in Chicago.
But, Steve, what we're not hearing here is why this took so long after the midterm elections for it to come out. I think a lot of Republicans are going to find the timing very suspicious that they knew about it before the midterms but didn't release it until now.
A lot of Republicans and a lot of journalists, too. Look, this is a story that CBS News broke last night, in part because we had sources telling us that this was going on, and so we reported it last night, and other news organizations caught up with us. But it, you know, this was something that the White House, it seems, was not interested in announcing. And it, you know, our reporting comes 2 months after the initial incident.
I think what you touched on this point, and I think it's really a salient point, is that we don't know what these documents are. It's possible that Joe Biden could have had fewer documents, but they could have been more serious in terms of their implications if they fell into the wrong hands. We'll never really know that, so we can't really equate, other than by, as you point out, by the numbers, sheer numbers of documents, the severity of these issues. But the bottom line here is, what rights do presidents have to some of the material generated during their administration?
It's a really good question, and it actually plays more into the Trump case, because part of his defense, not to say that there will be a criminal case there, but there certainly has been the service of a search warrant and a grand jury impaneled, and the suggestion is made that the Justice Department is taking this very seriously. There's a special counsel who's now been appointed to oversee that investigation. Part of Donald Trump's defense is that he had the right to decide what he could keep and what he had to turn over to the National Archives, because the Presidential Records Act essentially assumes that an outgoing president will operate in good faith and follow the letter of the law, which says that any presidential record belongs to the National Archives and goes to the National Archives, but it's up to the president to decide what is a presidential record and what is personal. In this case, Donald Trump appears to have asserted that the records that he kept, all of them, were personal, even though they were clearly government documents that had classified markings and belonged to the American public.
Let's move on to Mexico, where the president visited and talked to the Prime Minister of Canada and the President of Mexico. Is there a next step? Is the White House talking about these talks have led to this, and this is where U.S.-Mexico relations and border security are going?
The key deliverable that we expect to be announced at a joint statement later today between the three leaders who have taken part in the North American Leaders Summit, U.S., Mexico, and Canada, has to do with additional commitments that the Mexicans are prepared to make with respect to fentanyl. And we expect some new announcement about a higher level of cooperation between American law enforcement and Mexican law enforcement on the interdiction of fentanyl. Beyond that, AMLO, the president of Mexico, was talking yesterday morning about maybe upping the numbers in an agreement announced last week to have nationals of four countries remain in Mexico, be sent back to Mexico if they try to enter the United States illegally. This has to do with migrants coming from Nicaragua and Venezuela and Cuba and Haiti. And the pledge was made by the Mexican government that if nationals from those countries, which will not readily accept their own American deportees, that Mexico would hold 30,000 of them. And AMLO suggested yesterday morning that they might up the number. So we'll wait to see what the two presidents announced. The White House yesterday didn't really seem all that enthusiastic about significant progress there, but they're glad that the Mexicans already agreed to accept 30,000. The U.S. government has said it will take in 30,000 migrants from those countries if they apply through a program from their home countries, essentially get on a plane and fly to the United States rather than trying to come up through Mexico. The the bottom line is, yesterday at a meeting that was closed, but for a period of time, reporters were brought in to take pictures. You heard President Biden express his good wishes for the Mexican president. The Mexican president said some pretty stark things. He said that the United States needs to end its abandonment of Latin America and spread the wealth around. I'm paraphrasing, and I'm really sort of just simplifying what AMLO was saying. But the president of the United States responded by saying, "Look, we have responsibilities beyond our own hemisphere." And he defended American aid. Essentially, what Lopez Obrador was asking for was more American dollars being pumped into these countries in Central and Latin America.
Was there some tipping point that led to the president announcing New Mexico immigration restrictions and the trip to Mexico? Did something lead up to that? I mean, he's been essentially dogged by immigration issues for all of his presidency, but all of a sudden, two things, a trip to Mexico plus new measures.
Well, the trip to Mexico that the president's on right now is scheduled as part of this international summit that was, probably the better part of a year in the planning. But it happens that over the last year, the level of attempted crossings from Mexico into the United States has risen to a point where really, in the last couple of months, it's been at an all-time high. The Border Patrol has never recorded as many interactions or encounters or apprehensions, whatever you want to call it politely, as they have in these last several months. And that has led to, and you've seen pictures, you've heard stories about the pressure that's being put on border towns. The border states have had their Republican governors send migrants to blue run states like Massachusetts and New York and California. And so the White House announced that new parole program, which is sort of a carrot stick. You have the promise of expedited removal to Mexico in exchange for the admittance of an equal number of people who would apply from their home countries and come on airplanes. The fact is that the Biden administration is trying to argue that that program in and of itself, because it sees higher numbers from those four countries coming over because of the conditions in those four countries, should alleviate the pressure at the border and perhaps improves the situation there. When the president went down to the border on Sunday, it was a very sanitized, stage-managed scene, as it always would be whenever the president of the United States of any party is anywhere. I traveled with Donald Trump to the border a couple of times, and it was a very locked-down, controlled situation as Donald Trump surveyed his big, beautiful wall. In this case, it was a similar scene where Joe Biden went down to the border, and there was no sense that it was a chaotic situation. People who live down there say that it was very different a few, days earlier or weeks earlier.
Steve, last question, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us this morning. You served as president, maybe you still are, president of the White House Correspondents Association.
Mercifully, my term expired
July
of last year.
Well, this puts you in a unique position to answer this question. As compared to the daily press briefings, the spoon-fed to reporters, and the give and take of a press conference, which is more valuable to you as a reporter and why?
Well, without question, what's more valuable to me and to you and to history is a presidential news conference. The words of a president at a news conference are recorded for history. What a particular press secretary says on any given day will be easily and readily forgotten. What a president says is part of our American story. And so the opportunity to ask the president questions as we've had over the course of the last 100 years, which we have not had so much in this presidency, are what we ask for, because it's part of the record of our collective story. And a lack of willingness to take part in that engagement, I think, is a bit unfair to the public.
Thank you so much, Steve. Very much appreciated. And we'll talk again, but thanks for your insights and analysis.
Yeah, we really appreciate your taking the time, Steve. Thank you.
You bet.
Take care.
Steve Portnoy, White House Correspondents from CBS, former president of the White House Correspondents Association.
Yes.
All right. Do they have a big dinner coming up or something? Isn't that in the winter?
Well, that was the one Trump wouldn't go to, isn't it?
Well, I think he went sometimes and didn't go.
No, I don't
other
think
times.
He ever went.
Okay.
Well, the correspondents' dinner? I don't
maybe
think
as
he ever
a candidate
went.
He went then. Yeah, I remember one time he was making googly eyes at people telling jokes about him. So.
Googly eyes?
Right, because he didn't. He was irritated.
Would you give me a demonstration of what googly eyes look like? Okay. That looks harsh eyes, I would say.
All right,
folks. All right, I'd like the police department to note that I was just threatened.
1-800, at least I didn't text you. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can talk about what Stephen Portnoy had to say, the classified documents that President Biden has never waved his arm over them and said, voila, these are all now declassified. So these are still 100% classified
documents. Remember, all he has to do is think about them being declassified.
Oh, is it just thoughts? I thought he had to move his arms.
No, he just has to think.
Oh, I thought he had to move his arms like, you know, that waving action. But anyway, okay. Well, anyway, so President Biden hasn't indicated that he's thought about declassifying them, subsequently making them declassified. Differences and similarities. EB sent us an email. I believe that's the subject line. Yep.
Yes, it
and
is.
And one of our good listeners says they're going to step up their funding for a fine local nonprofit radio station around here. So we're going to be talking about that. But call us now on the mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Please go to sunburymotors.com for your next vehicle. Our toll-free line now open, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back. We're just discussing the fact that the reporters cannot give an opinion, and so we have
we always have to be careful with framing the questions, right?
You have to ask questions. That's why you might ask things that simply relate to where are we on the timeline, or what is next, or what, I asked what was the tipping point that led to the president taking these actions. So going to Mexico, obviously that was already on the schedule, and the tipping point for the U.S.-Mexico border restrictions would be the fact that the people are pouring over the border.
Well, I did ask him for an opinion at the end there, where I asked him for his opinion about what was more valuable to a reporter from his standpoint, and uniquely qualified to answer it as the past president, immediate past president of the White House Correspondents Association.
Well, and I think it's interesting for us because we get to see all of this, and a lot of it gets portrayed. You watch some of the news press briefings that the president's staff has in Washington these days.
Yeah, I think they're largely worthless, in my opinion, and I am allowed to express my opinion.
But you see, that's why you're here. But you still catch some of them just on the outside chance.
I do. It's funny because it seems almost like a waste of time. They ask these questions, and Karine Jean-Pierre looks at the notes she has prepared. She must have anticipated. Somebody must anticipate these questions and write out for her what her response should be. And she always is glancing down at her papers. I will say that Jen Psaki seldom did that. She would, was ready top of her head. And I think most good press secretaries are. They understand what the boss wants to convey. But that's what you get. You get spoon-fed this information. You don't get the give and take that you would get in a presidential press conference. And I seriously question, and I know people will be upset, I seriously question whether Joe Biden can handle that.
Oh, a news conference. Well, he's done a few. He also has participated in a few press sprays. He doesn't do terrible at it.
Well, that's because he has a list of the people he's supposed to call on.
Well, no, not when he does sort of the off-the-cuff thing. But, President Trump did exceedingly well at that. He stopped having formal news briefings and instead to meeting almost daily, it seemed like, reporters at some intersection in the White House or out in the White House lawn.
Right,
and
but
that seemed like a great way to go about it.
It is, but he controlled that. He could walk away at any point, okay. Right, as opposed to a press conference where it used to be that the dean of the press correspondents, and it was, I forget the name of the lady who was the dean of the correspondents for many years. She was the AP reporter. I can't think of her name.
She was UPI.
No. Well, was she? I thought she was AP. But anyhow, the question would go on until she said, thank you, Mr. President.
Oh, okay.
And you know, she was given a time, let's say maybe an hour and 10 minutes max, and she would always stand up and say, thank you, Mr. President, and that would be the end of it. And he had to stay there until the agreed upon time was over. But we don't get that now. We don't get that give and take. We have President Biden saying, well, I have a list here of people I'm supposed to call on.
Well, yeah, and I don't think he could. You're right. The full-blown thing I don't think he can handle. But, you know, he's 80 years old, so this is what you get. You know, if you elect an 80-year-old president, well, then you're not going to get one who behaves like a 60-some president.
Well, I dispute that because I think there are many 80-year-old people or people approaching 80, as I am, who can still put a sentence together and
skip to 80.
Put cogent thoughts together.
People who are like him in his advanced age.
Well, I think that it's that, and it's the fact that, you know, they have to preserve their political identity. They have to preserve their political options. And so they don't want to really answer a question where they have to commit to something. It's better to be nondescript or nebulous or, you know, just float out their generalities. You know, oh, we're certainly going to look into that very carefully, and I expect that at the appropriate time we will take whatever measures are necessary to solve the problem.
All right, one of our listeners sent us a note on the topic of the archival information that was found in Washington.
I love this because EB says, as I'm sure you'll be discussing this morning, classified documents were found in a former office occupied by Joe Biden. This, of course, is very serious and needs to be looked into. However, I don't want to hear any nonsense from Republicans who made excuses when Trump did it, but are suddenly outraged when it's Biden. At least his team notified the National Archives right away and were fully cooperative. Unlike the orange imbecile and his team, they didn't keep the documents even after the archives requested them. In other words, anyone who wasn't upset when it was Trump should shut up now. Let me ask you, EB, are you outraged that Joe Biden had classified material? Just questioning. You seem to be outraged, as I recall you were, when Trump was the issue. Anyhow, also, one of the Republicans' first acts was to gut the Congressional Ethics Department. Who in their right mind wants to scuttle a body specifically designed to guarantee politicians follow basic ethical rules? People who are planning to pull some seriously unethical stuff, that's who. I wonder what crimes the GOP is planning now. Maybe another insurrection. Who knows? They aren't even trying to hide their dishonesty and corruption anymore. Signed, EB.
1-800-799.
As opposed to the Lily White crystal clear, pure Democrats. Oh, they are such a model of how we should behave.
Well, they're pretty darn close. Okay, so one of our listeners, after we talked about
wasting federal money on NPR and
questioning the spending that was done on NPR, one of our listeners said,
since after your discussion yesterday on NPR and WVIA, I doubled my contribution. And that's great. Congratulations
for
doing
that. That's exactly what should happen.
That is what should happen.
Yeah, and private individuals.
Let's reduce the federal spending by an equal amount to what you doubled your contribution to.
Well, and I think a good equivalent would be our good emailer didn't sign it, but if they did, maybe we'd know what their profession is. If you were, let's suppose you're in healthcare and your hospital's struggling to stay above board and above water and, of course, make ends meet, and you look across the street and every day a bank truck from the federal government pulls up and hands the
your competitor
a bag of money, well, of course, it's an unfair playing field.
Right. And while you're at it, if you'd like to contribute, since you listen, why don't you send us a check? We'd return
support
it.
Support us, of course. Maybe.
Or buy some spots. That's it. Contact the member of our advertising department and buy some commercials.
Eric, you get a couple minutes before the top of the hour. Go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. So Biden was caught, so to speak, although, again, it was his lawyers who say, hey, their documents are. And I guess we assume that all the documents, that they're not something they destroyed or hid or whatever. I'll say what I said in this program before. Both the Democratic and the Republican parties are begging for new leadership. And it's time for both parties to understand that what happened 2016-2020 is now and will be, 4 and then 8 years in the past. And to look what is it for the good of the United States going forward. And that I can't picture as either being Biden reelected or former President Trump being put back in office.
Hey, we agree.
Yeah, what? I know. It's frightening here on a Tuesday.
It is frightening.
But the difference is Biden has not indicated that he is going to run again. I frankly believe that the Democratic Party is probably trying to form an idea of who their candidate should be. On the other side, President Trump continues to assert, has already declared, hey, I'm running, and I think he's hoping to use that as a smokescreen against what is already evidence to prosecute him for different things. And he went to say, hey, you can't prosecute me. I'm a former president. I'm going to be the next president, and try to intimidate, as he did. There was phone calls during the campaign to elect a House Speaker, and, that lady from Georgia. Look! It's former President Trump calling. Listen. The sooner the Republican Party gets away from Trumpism, and the sooner the Democratic Party realizes that our current president isn't the answer, the better our country's going to be going.
All right, call back if you got more.
I agree
to
with
say.
You. Thanks,
yeah.
Eric. Yeah, yeah, call back again. I like agreeing with you.
Well, that's the end of the show, folks.
That's it, brother.
Joe agrees with her. One of our good liberal callers agrees with Joe. So, let's shut her down. You're listening to News Radio 1070, WKOK Sunbury, WKOK News Time. It is 9 a.m. More coming up during the 9 a.m. hour.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr.
Hey, hello there. Hi. How you doing?
Weirdo is here across from me. All right. I'm not one of your grandchildren. You can speak to me in your normal voice, okay?
Okay, Mark. Now, you take good care of yourself, okay?
Oh, yeah. I wish I could.
As you get older, the people that you deal with start calling you in terms of endearment, even though they don't know you. Like, good morning, honey. Are you all right today, dearie? Now, we're going to stick this needle in your arm, sweetie, and it'll just pinch
sting.
A little bit.
It's going to sting.
I love how medical professionals talk to you when you're older.
All right. All right, 1-800, it goes into geriatric care now. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's the toll-free line. Our show is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. We're going through the list of some of the vehicles that they got for sale down there. They got a Hyundai Sonata on the line. If you haven't seen it, it's that little sedan that you love to look at. Less than $40,000, up to 50 miles per gallon. How about that? And
50 miles
it's
per
averaging
gallon.
31 miles. Well, it's ultra efficient. 2.5 liter 4-cylinder engine, but it still has rear cross-track warning and passenger warnings and all kinds of pedestrian detection. And it's really a fantastic vehicle and ultra affordable. Again, less than $40,000, probably about $35,000 for the upper end of the Hyundai Sonata. It's designed to be a sporty coupe, and that's what it is. So you see the young men turning them into slider vehicles, and 8-speed automatic transmission is standard.
What's a slider vehicle?
If you don't know, you'll have to look it up.
I don't know.
But, one of the economical models that Consumer Reports tested got 44 miles to the gallon overall in the hybrid version. So, just a super economical vehicle. Inexpensive to buy, inexpensive to maintain, and inexpensive just sips gasoline as you drive along. So that is the Hyundai Sonata. So check that out. Sunbury Motors, sunburymotors.com. They would just love to talk with you at the soonest possible opportunity about your next vehicle. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Always include the keyword OTM. We do have some brief news headlines here. One individual has announced his candidacy for Snyder County Treasurer. Rylan Ebright is a Republican, says he will be an active treasurer who will help more than just the county, but help increase economic growth and improve budgetary responsibility. You can read lots more about his candidacy at WKOK.com and RylanEbright.com. State Senator Gene Yaw invites residents to participate in a telephone town hall tonight, 6:30 p.m. Attendees are welcome to go to SenatorGeneYaw.com to sign up. It'll be an hour-long session tonight at 6:30 p.m. A veteran Selinsgrove Borough police officer who sent what some people perceived as threatening messages to Chief Shaney Mitchell has been suspended a month. The Selinsgrove Borough manager says Scott Grove suspended 4 weeks without pay after that messaging flurry. And in addition, this week, the borough hired another police officer, Chris Baker, and they also are currently looking for another full-time police officer. A special legislative session called by Governor Tom Wolf to help victims of child sexual abuse getting off to a slow start. Our correspondent Mark Sims has that story.
House Speaker Mark Rossi says despite working all day Monday to reach an agreement, Democrats and Republicans are too far apart on House rules to proceed with a vote on a constitutional amendment to provide victims of childhood sexual abuse an opportunity to sue their abusers in cases in which the statute of limitations has run out.
In an effort to move things forward and to get Democrats and Republicans talking again, I am creating a work group of three Republicans and three Democrats of varied interests from across the Commonwealth to sit down and find a way forward.
Rossi says party politics must take a back seat to helping victims of childhood sexual abuse. Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Pennsylvania lawmakers Monday advanced a bill to cut the state's gas tax, one of the nation's highest. Senate Bill 35 would stop the automatic gas tax increase that already took into effect a couple of weeks ago, and also permanently set the wholesale price of gasoline at $2.99 a gallon. Monday, the bill passed the state Senate Transportation Committee on 11-3 vote. The gas tax increased by 3 cents on January 1st. The Transportation Committee also passed a bill that dedicates gas tax revenues to road and bridge projects. WBRE is following the Lycoming County vote audit. It's a hand recount of the 2020 president election. It's underway. Lycoming County, they say it'll take about a week. The nearly 60,000 ballots cast will be hand counted over the course of the time. The Lycoming County Voter Services Department began the hand recount on Monday morning. So how about that, a hand recount? And I understand they've already found some very, very slight, you know, one or two vote discrepancies in some of the counting from various precincts.
I don't think Trump's going to get the 5 million votes he needs to.
No, it's not going to impact anything. It's not going to. But
I mean, what a waste of taxpayer money.
I don't think so.
You know?
Remember, voting is correlated to confidence. You have to have confidence. And if,
well, I'm not going to argue that point.
If thousands
you're right.
of people in Lycoming County say, I don't have confidence that your counting is accurate, who is it that the commissioners work for, if not these thousands
of
people?
No, you're right. They work for the people, so all right.
If they want the hand count, let them pay for it. All right,
let the people pay for it. The people want it.
All right. CBS.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And finally, what's up with the price of eggs?
What is up with the price of eggs?
CBS says in California it's now $7 a dozen. There's a huge outbreak of bird flu that's killed 60 million chickens in the U.S., which is causing the breakfast to break the bank. The good news is they think the high egg prices will eventually crack, but not until spring.
Was that a yolk?
Yes, but they won't go down. Do you want me to tell you that over?
Over easy, please.
Over?
Over easy.
Come on, that's the name of
I know
name.
What I know.
All right,
what
come on
is.
Now. Work with me.
Right. I'm doing my best, but you're making it hard.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236 gas tax. This one fella did not become an independent, even though he said that he would. Right?
In the state house, the gentleman they elected House Speaker in Harrisburg said he was going to be an independent, wasn't going to caucus with either the Republicans or the Democrats, and he has not lived up to that commitment. According to one of his close supporters, the Republican who nominated him is now calling for him to resign.
Is he still, so he's a Democrat is where
he's remained a Democrat, although he said he would become an independent.
All right.
And that he would not caucus with either party, but apparently he fell short of that commitment.
All right, one of our good listeners, upper right-hand corner, Joe, please.
Said, good morning, Mark and Joe. Bill from Greencastle here. My uncle was the president of one of the banks in Greencastle.
I had an uncle in Greencastle.
Did you?
For the same fellow.
How about that? No, mine was named Warner Harsh. What was yours?
Not that.
Not that, okay. The lady who was the dean of the White House correspondence for all those years was Helen Thomas. And I thought she worked with the AP, too, but she worked with UPI, and then when she retired from UPI or when they went under, she went with Hearst.
Okay. That's
but she was the dean of the White House correspondence.
Yeah, 57 years with the UPI.
Long time.
How about that? Yeah, UPI is long gone. I'm assuming they're completely gone. You certainly don't hear much about them anymore.
Well, they were, I think, the best, to be honest with you, but...
Well, they were faster than AP, but AP had more editors and checkers and bureaus and all that stuff.
Well, AP was more of a co-op. UPI was on an independent basis, but AP relied on places like us to feed them stories all the time.
Right, and we could put something on the UPI, and all the other affiliates who had opted would see it. We would see that all the time, where a UPI correspondent at the White House would type a story, put it on the bird, and the affiliates would get it. Prior to editing.
Right.
You know, so it was significantly faster than AP on breaking stories and any story, really. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Stan, first outside caller of the day. Good morning. You're on the mark.
No, second outside caller.
Good. Okay.
I'm not going to argue. I don't know.
Eric was ahead of you.
Biden, no, that's
so
right.
So Biden is keeping classified documents in a closet. In an office close in a think tank.
Well,
is that what
not,
I heard?
He's not keeping them. He's mishandling them.
Well, he kept them there.
Right, that's mishandling.
Now, my understanding is a vice president can't declassify anything, and so why did they leave the White House when he was done in 2017?
Well, I probably had permission to use him while he was vice president, I'm assuming.
Well, I understand that. When he was vice president... After he left on January 20th of 2017, he was no longer vice president. He shouldn't have had any access to him, so they removed there when to that office.
Well, we don't know how they got there, just that they got there.
It was his office.
It was his office.
Keyword, nobody knows. Same thing with Portnoy. Say, well, we were told that there were over 300 classified documents in Mar-a-Lago, but there was only supposedly 10 in Biden's office. It's all speculation because nobody knows, because that information hasn't been put out.
But I do think they know the numbers. They do know. I've heard the reporting from a number of different outlets this morning that compared to Trump's, it was a very small number of documents. But that's why I asked Portnoy the question. But what we don't know is the severity. If what Biden left behind in those 10 was far worse than what Trump left behind in 300, or vice versa.
Exactly. Nobody knows what was left behind in Trump's, neither.
No,
because
they don't.
If they're top secret, they're top secret. Nobody should know, right?
Well, they didn't say they were top secret. I mean, there are apparently quite a few designations of classified, secret, unsecret.
Probably top secret isn't one of them.
Eyes only.
Pretty darn secret.
If I have to tell you, this, I got to kill you, you know, that
Holy
kind of
smoke
mistake.
Secret.
Okay. But irregardless, you know, basically Biden did the same thing Trump did, but he didn't have the authority because he was only vice president, and Trump may have had the authority because he was president.
Well,
so that being said, it is what it is, and we'll let the system play out, but we know how the system will play out considering who's the attorney general. All right.
So you don't believe Merrick Garland will get me?
No, I have no confidence in Merrick Garland. So that's how it's going to play out, and that's all we know right now, so why talk about it? It's a waste of time. Now, what I do have a question.
You brought it up.
You brought it up,
yes?
Right?
Yeah, I know. Well, no, you brought it up at the beginning of the show.
Okay.
So we're going to stop there because we have no information other than, so there was reported, but, you know, they did know they had them there before the midterms, but nothing was said about that.
Well, that's what bothers me, yes. That's troublesome.
Right. Nobody's waved their arm over them and declassified them. At least President Trump waves his arm and thinks about them, and they become declassified.
Right. Whatever. But if it had been a Republican president or vice president that had done that and before the midterm trying to harm the Republicans, it would have been all over the news. But, okay.
It would have been. You're right.
That's what we know. So that's over. Now, yesterday they were reporting that the Biden administration is considering banning all gas stoves.
What?
Yes, did you hear about that?
Yes, this is another insane overreach on the part of government.
Oh, because of the chemicals.
Yeah. Asthma, that it can cause asthma in some young people. But, you know, we've been cooking with gas in our house since we got married.
They want
57 years ago, and we're still living, and we don't have asthma.
Does your son have asthma?
No.
No. I did see something about the first article I seen. It was natural gas stoves. I use propane. Is that different?
I don't know. I use
now,
propane.
I mean, it is to a point, because propane has more energy per cubic foot than natural gas does. That's why they change orifices in, whether it's a natural gas stove or a propane stove, there is a difference. But as far as the emissions coming out of either, I would think they'd be the same.
You would think.
It's a, quote, fossil fuel.
Right.
So how many decades have gas stoves been in existence, Joe?
Quite a few.
I don't know.
We've had, well.
Yeah. Oh, my God, 10.
When I was growing up, my parents cooked with gas. So.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Yeah, I mean, back in the early part of the 1900s, it was coal and wood mostly.
And next they'll be
sure
telling
in the cities and stuff where they had natural gas pipelines, it was probably gas.
And the next thing they'll be telling us is that our gas furnaces are gotta go because they're spewing.
They're chimneyed. They're chimneyed. Gas.
Well, they'll find something wrong with that.
Into the house.
They are a lot more efficient. I have one of those propane, and you know the emissions, the exhaust fumes go out a plastic pipe.
Right.
So. They're like 93% to 95% efficient. Most of them, I think they might even have up 97% efficient. So they put more water out than they do fumes. Now, they say they can make a gas stove more efficient and put out less emissions. I'm not sure how that is, considering it's an open flame.
Probably vent it better, I guess.
Well, they're telling you should have your range hood on all the time when you're cooking with gas.
Right, and that would be the ventilation thing, and that's probably the biggest thing to get it out. And I never use a range hood, but, you know, that's me. But so it is what it is. But it's just more insanity that something that's been used for decades and is cost-efficient for the most part for people. So what they want to do is ban them, and what are they going to do, make everybody buy electric stoves?
Yeah, ban seems strong, but if the correlation between asthma and natural gas exhaust is real, people with kids should take steps. That's the way to go, not ban. My gosh, think of all the restaurants that'll be out of business. That's the fastest way to cook things.
Well, I think this is a plot on the part of the electric company to sell more
electric
stoves.
Company, I got you. All right, we got to hit the road, Stan. Thank you,
Thanks,
sir.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, all right, have a good one.
You too, man. Buddy. Take care.
All right, we'll be right back. Got caller standing by. We will return shortly.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. I'm not even going to give out the phone number because too many people are waiting, and Harry's been patient. Go ahead, sir. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's funny. I was calling for the same thing Stan just brought up about with the gas stove. I have had, in the house we are in now, we have been here, we were here 28 years in October. We have had gas stove and gas heat the entire time. Have no health problems, no asthma, no health problems at all. We've had children and grandchildren in the home for large periods of time. No problems there. I think what happens is a lot of these homes are so sealed tight anymore that nothing can get out. I would also like to, you know, so therefore it does trap any kind of harmful emissions inside. And I don't know what emissions there are. I'm not a science expert, I'll be the first to admit. But I think before you automatically go and ban something that 40% of people have in their homes, you should check, are all appliances spewing some sort of emissions? Is there an issue with the ventilation in the homes? Is there an issue in the lack of ventilation in the homes? Is there, you know, what are all the reasons? Otherwise, why would it make sense for an electrical grid that is already stressed to full capacity and beyond to add more between the stoves and the cars that, you know, are going to be mandated within the next 10 years? What, I mean, every day I think that we have hit the limit of stuff that makes absolutely no sense.
And then it's all another, like, day.
Yeah, and then here comes the next day, and the Biden administration and others say, here, hold my beer, watch this. And it just boggles the mind. How can we not study this and say, this is the reason for it? We're just going to say, nope, because somebody doesn't want us to use a gas stove, we're going to have to all get rid of it.
Well, it's funny why they would go to a ban as the recommended, you know, the potentially what they're going to do is ban them. It just seems to be, first of all, most people don't have kids in their home in the first place. But secondly, if you do have something that's given off a noxious gas, this nitrogen oxide, well, you can handle that. For example, we have an ultra-efficient gas furnace. It has its own fresh air supply and has its own exhaust supply. Well, you could do the same thing with a stove. You could, if your house needs fresh air, then you could supply it at the site of the stove, and of course you would vent the hood, and that would consume most of the gas.
My wife tells me, and I don't know whether you heard this part of it, that the government, part of this proposal is that the homeowners will get up to $800 toward the price of a new electric stove.
Oh, brother, come on.
Another boondoggle. Let's buy everybody electric stoves for everybody.
Our great-great-grandchildren wouldn't have asthma, but they would still be saddled with debt.
Right.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, the solution to everything is let's just hand money out.
Right.
I mean, you know, God, wouldn't it be an easy life if all we did was just say to somebody, here, give me another 500, give me another 1,000, give me another 100. I mean, wouldn't life be easy that you'd never have to worry about it? But we don't attack any issues. If the issue is that it is causing more asthma or more health issues, then let's see what you need to do to stop that. Not take everything and put everybody in a position where it's unsustainable. Not only is it the cost, but you can't keep adding stuff to a grid that can't handle what, if they, all the stuff they want to put on this electrical grid cannot be handled.
Well, just think of all the crazy stuff that's come out this week. They now have linked picking your nose to Alzheimer's disease. Of all the crazy stuff.
I didn't hear that.
No, they're saying that if you pick your nose, you disrupt the follicle hairs in there, and it lets some bacteria enter your brain, which could cause Alzheimer's disease.
I heard about that, but I forgot it already.
I mean, this stuff is just getting more and more bizarre every day. Well, we can't have gas for stoves because somebody might get asthma. You don't pick your nose, you'll get Alzheimer's disease. I remember back in 1959 when the craze all started, it was cranberries. And it turned out to get cancer, you would have had to eat 6 bushels of cranberries a day for 20 years.
6 bushels.
Yeah, at that point, the least of your worries would have been getting cancer. You'd been so sick from that.
All right, we got you, Harry.
I think, you know, the government overreach is not conducive to a good life for anybody. And I think it's about time we stand up and say, listen, guys, we the people don't need you to be our nannies.
Amen.
All right, we got you. Thank you, sir. Thanks
for
calling.
We can handle our own lives, thank you.
Or mishandle them, as it were.
Mishandle them, right.
All right. Mike, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hey, you guys were mentioning about Trump at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Well, he was actually there, you probably remember this, before he was even running for president, and Barack Obama was president, and Obama ripped him for, they said, 5 straight minutes. But the real zinger was when the line Biden used was, I hear Trump is going to run as president as an independent. And Obama said, I thought he was running as a joke. And that kind of came back to haunt him, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes, all right.
Yeah. So, again, I like to pick out the things that bother me. I think, Mark, you described it as a diatribe, but I would call it a warranted denunciation. And during one of your news breaks, Ellen DeGeneres the new climate expert was on, and she's talking about the California weather situation, and she said the water has never run down this street before. Well, I don't know exactly what she means by that. I don't know how long she's lived there. I don't know what has changed in that environment to cause more runoff, or if this is the worst rainfall. But anyway, she put it out to all your listeners that the water has never run down this street before. So that makes this an extreme event now. So we've crossed the threshold from a normal rainstorm that we might get every 50 years or whatever to an extreme weather event.
Well, that's possible.
But again, the main reason for this call was, Mark, I did take offense to the fact that you characterized my call as a diatribe. I don't think it was that. I think, like I said, it was a warranted denunciation of people that were putting out bad information.
But diatribes are welcome. It's not a diss. It's just an observation about the call. It's not a diss. It's if it weren't for diatribes, we'd have no calls at all. So that's what we want.
I think if you, again, go to the definition of diatribe, it involves the word anger, an angry.
Oh, dear. Yeah, well, I see what you're saying.
The
yeah.
dictionary definition is a forceful and bitter verbal attack against someone or something.
Wow. That's bad.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Mike. Totally. I know yours aren't that, so that doesn't qualify.
Yeah. I thought maybe you were going over to the dark side there. And
maybe I'm thinking of a tirade.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to say I do appreciate your show, and it is good. Like I've always said, and I wish more of your listeners that write in your texts and stuff would participate, because this is the last bastion of free speech. And from what I heard you guys talking about a little bit, I think, you know, the AM radio business may be on the decline, but we thought that before, and then along came Rush Limbaugh, so who knows? Hey, listen, you guys have a good day.
And I don't think you want him to I don't think you want him to call it a tirade either, because the definition is a long, violent, angry speech.
That's right. But, I mean, I'm capable of that.
Well,
don't
sorry,
get me wrong,
all.
But I don't think that was it yesterday.
All right, we got you. Thank you.
I'm just defending myself. Hey
you
guys have
a
great day.
Thanks. You too, buddy. Thank
you. Take care.
All right, last caller before a quickie break. Cindy, good morning. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, I'm pretty sure I'm guilty of both diatribes and
tirades
on the radio on occasion. I'll admit that sometimes I'm really angry when I call in.
Harangue would be the better word. Harangue.
Oh, you feel I harangue?
Okay. No, I'm just saying that for this type of call,
girls
as Mark's,
harangue.
The definition there is a lengthy and aggressive speech. That's not necessarily violent. That's the way Mark was using another term that was kind of derogatory towards someone's
right.
discussion.
Wasn't it last week we learned that plethora has negative connotations? I never knew that. I used the word just meaning a whole bunch,
lots of
many,
them.
Many. But it turns out it's a negative word. I was shocked to learn it had negative connotations.
Oh, harangue is a lengthy and aggressive speech.
Yes, that's what I just said.
Okay, I'm a haranguer. I will happily don don cape.
And you're an
but
iconoclast.
This is why I'm calling. You must be thinking I'm psychic, because you'll recall a few months ago, maybe almost a year ago, I called in and said that they were going to attack people who had gas stoves, and everybody scoffed at Cindy, and lo and behold,
voila.
Here we are. And let me just tell you what this is based on, because I quickly looked it up. This is in the New York Times. There was a small study based on the measurements from cooktops, ovens, and broilers in 53 homes in California. And from this study, they've extrapolated that gas stoves across the entire country contribute to 13% of the methane emissions in the country. They're not, this is about global warming, and that it is not about children with asthma. It has nothing to do with it at all. They say, and quite rightly, sometimes when I go to turn on my gas stove, it doesn't ignite immediately. Well, then it's emitting a little methane in the air, and God forbid I should open my door and out that slips, and I'm destroying the earth. I mean, it's just silly. But here's my problem. 53 homes. In what state were these homes located with the leaking pipes that get to their gas stove? Because here's what they're saying. 40% of this emission comes when the oven or stove is off. So this, they said, points to fittings. So they go to the state with the most earthquakes in the country. Now, if you have one of these stoves, you know that it's piped, right? Typically a plumber using pipes plumbs it to where your stove is and hooks it up. Now, I have propane. But anyway, so wouldn't it be a credible thing to say maybe it's because in California the ground shakes and it loosens their fittings, and that it's inaccurate, if not preposterous, to extrapolate then that across the entire country everybody's on shaky fittings? I mean, I just find it ridiculous to make such an assumption when you've predicated it on 53 homes in the state that shakes the most.
Shaky state,
like Joe.
It is weather shaky on many grounds, believe me. You know, they prayed for rain. We all prayed for rain. They've been whining incessantly that they don't have any rain. Now they've got the rain, and what are they doing?
They're praying
for
a stop.
They're whining and complaining they've got the rain. Would you make up your mind?
Well, they always say, be careful what you ask for. You might just get it.
Yeah, in quantities greater than you imagine,
yeah.
You know?
Well, has anyone said that this rain is reliably impacted by climate change? I mean, I know different people. I know Ellen DeGeneres has said that, but unlike Mike, I don't consider it.
Everything
is because of climate change.
It's about climate change.
I got
you. Catch a cold and give them 2 minutes, and they'll draw a curse
indoor
long
air pollution.
And circuitous route back to climate change.
I lost my voice because of climate change, because warmer air is less dense, and so my vocal cords have to work harder.
Today. Everything is because of climate change. But let's be real. You know, this is one of the problems I have with what happens in government today. Somebody puts out a study. 53 homes in a shaking state, and now they've come up with this plan that we ought to bar everybody from having a gas stove. It's just ridiculous. Three people sneeze, let's declare it a cold emergency, a crisis of biblical proportions. Let's shut the country down. Nobody can fly. I mean, that's the kind of reaction we're having here. It's just ridiculous. And this, I think that the people who have a passion about climate change, here's what they should do. They should remove their gas stove, 100%, and their gas furnace and their gas water heater. They should walk to work or bike, whichever they prefer.
But look at the hypocrisy of it.
They should change their behavior in every single possible way they can. Before they knock on my door.
Look at the hypocrisy of this situation. They want to ban gas stoves. But here we definitely know that smoking cigarettes can cause cancer. And yet, we haven't banned them. We haven't taken them off the market. They're demonstrably bad for people's health.
And
yet, they're still legal, and you can still buy them. So what kind of sense does it make to take away people's gas stoves where somebody might have their asthma adversely impacted, while allowing cigarettes where people die of lung cancer to continue to flourish?
And cooks would definitely tell you they enjoy pleasure of cooking with gas or something about it, maybe because it's hot right away or something.
Right. And didn't Senator Yaw put forward a bill in the last session to try to stop communities from barring people from using gas? I mean, as in cooking and appliances in their home versus that which powers your car down the road. It becomes confusing. But it's interesting enough that the fixes for climate change are always your neighbor has to change their behavior. This is where I'm going with this. Don't come crying to me. Don't raise your finger. Don't point over here at Cindy O'Hara until you have done
everything
single possible thing you can do to change your behavior. Don't get on an airplane because, you know, that those things pour out the emissions. They're just heinous.
Yeah, they're big consumers.
Right? No grass in your yard, so you won't have to mow, and you should have covered it with trees because trees bind carbon. Now, I plant trees every year, and I know that they do that, and I do it on purpose. They should just make all the climate chambers. We should be able to know these people by the number of trees in their yard.
All right, we got you.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
Almost
take care. Almost has a biblical flair to it. I appreciate that. All right.
A plague of locusts upon your house.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
That's what they're claiming, you know. That's the next thing. We're all going to have a plague of locusts.
What's wrong with that?
Descend upon us.
Don't we already?
Well, you talk about biblical proportions. That would be biblical.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Our email address is onthemark@wkok.com. And text us at 70236. We're talking about, some agency in Washington, very concerned about a connection between natural gas cooking and the open stove and the methane methane that's released before the stove catches, and or the nitrous oxide that's in the exhaust itself. Both are factors in this conversation.
And given the fact that they've also decided this week that picking your nose can lead to Alzheimer's,
enough with that already.
Should we have an ordinance? Should we have a national law requiring people not do that anymore?
Stephen Portnoy was on the line earlier talking about the president in Mexico and the president's new measures associated with the border. And so what's your view on these important topics? 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com. Well, this is a pickle as it relates to gas stoves because, of course, cooks love them. But it's certainly an efficient way to heat and to cook. But a lot of homes are sealed up, as Harry talked about. But homes that are sealed up also have fresh air opportunities. You know, there's heat exchangers and things to make sure that you get enough fresh air.
Well, one of the things we do is keep the we have one of the newer gas furnaces. And among the things that it offers is a feature to circulate the air, which means that the fan will run from time to time randomly just to move the air through the house and keep the temperature even. And I suspect it moves away harmful stuff at the same time.
Right.
And
well,
it does bring in outdoor air. I mean,
yeah, your boiler gets fresh air, but where do you get fresh air in the home?
No boiler.
Well, that's right. So, you don't. Okay, well, that's fine. But I think modern homes where they really gave this a lot of thought have fresh air exchange
opportunities. Most of the new systems bring some fresh air in.
Right, but that's for the boiler or for the furnace, whatever it is.
Right.
But for the home itself, they bring in some fresh air.
We have a thing called windows in our home.
No. When the windows are sealed up, you get fresh air ventilation in the home that brings in fresh air. And a lot of times they'll have a heat exchanger that allows it to take the heat out of the air that's in the home that you're venting and use it to warm the air that's coming in so that it's not so cold.
Well, this is, you know, I think
that's a good idea.
That Harry made the most salient point here. We have an electrical grid that everyone says is shaky to begin with.
And now PPL says that's a false statement, though.
Well, PPL maybe is probably better run than some of the other utilities, but look at California where they have rolling blackouts during the summer. What are they going to do there when they get rid of all the gas stoves and they get rid of have all these electrical vehicles?
Well, I noticed when PPL and the Pennsylvania-Jersey Electric Connection said that they were asking for conservation during that cold snap a couple weeks ago. They said there's nothing wrong with the grid. It's generation ability that was starting to get tapped out.
And they did have a lot of generational plants closed down just... You know, and
well, some don't operate well when they're too cold. I'm not sure which is which, but
there was talk at one point of building a second plant down here in Shamokin Dam, where the current Hummel Station plant is. They were going to build another one, but the economy of it apparently, you know, didn't exist because of the I don't know whether it was price of gas or whatever happened. But
and the marijuana plant is expanding there, right?
We got gas and marijuana, all you want.
But that's true, though, right? The marijuana plant's expanding. Okay.
But what's that got to do with the gas?
Nothing. I'm just saying it's Shamokin Dam construction. It's,
right.
It has the same page.
But still, I mean, I think that there is, there's got to be something where you make us aware of there's an issue. You know, I could say to you, Mark, just as a matter of prudence, there are some people who believe that having a gas stove in your home could lead you to getting asthma or aggravating asthma in anybody
young
in your
people,
family.
It's mostly young people.
So, be aware. That's the common sense, reasonable thing to do.
A ban.
Right. But no, the government right away wants to say, well, let's ban gas stoves because somebody may cough.
All right. We got a text on this topic.
Yeah.
Top one.
The gas stove ban is being pushed because they supposedly affect poor and minorities the hardest. So gas stoves are racist.
Well, I think the issue is that, I hate to say this, but there are some low-income homes where they use the gas stove to heat the kitchen. That's the source of heat in the kitchen. So they turn the burners on or the oven, and they just open the door on the oven and let that vent in. And it's not, you know, it's venting into the house because you can see the waves coming off the stove and the windows.
But how many people have been adversely impacted by that over the years? I mean, they tell you not to do that because of the risk of fire. But I haven't heard of anybody, you know, actually having a problem as a result of it.
It's the single most efficient heater in the world, having an open flame in your house.
Yeah, so, well, that's what happens.
But, of course, you have to have fresh air.
Look
but
at all
a lot
the years
of older homes have tons of fresh air anyway. Well, that's how we vent our house.
Look
our
at all the years where gas was the primary source of light. you know, that gas lamps.
Gas shows. Yeah, there's still gas fixtures in our house.
Right.
You know, sticking up out of the floor and out of the wall.
Well, we have one house that I lived in when I was growing up had electrical and gas combined in one outlet. If the power went off, you could light the gas. I don't think that would pass code today by any stretch of the imagination, because there was no pilot light involved. You could turn on the gas and blow the house up if you
wanted to.
I
remember when my father had his house rewired, basically a 150-year-old house, and had natural gas pipe fittings for indoor illumination, and the electrician was having trouble getting around one of the thick walls and around the corner, so he snaked a wire up through the old gas line that went up into the room, and that's how he got the electricity into that
particular light. Well, that would work. If there was no gas in there, that would be fine.
Right. Yeah, disconnected it, of course. All right, more texts. Go ahead and read that.
All right. I asked the leftist callers why, when the January 6th committee broke up, did they leak Social Security numbers of ex-Trump officials? Did they do that?
Nothing I'm aware of, but they must
Nothing
have.
Nothing I'm aware
somebody
of either.
Says so maybe.
And then Obama took millions of documents when he left. How many are classified? Will the FBI raid his homes to find out? No chance. And you think the FBI will raid Joe Biden's place? Don't
think
so.
I think President Biden's been pretty clear that he doesn't know where this stuff came from.
He doesn't know where it came from.
Well, he knows where it came from, but he didn't know he had it, and he's totally voluntarily giving it up. In fact, I think it was his people that called the archives, right?
Right. They did his what lawyer. They should have done. I mean, but, you know, the fact that this was held up from being announced until after the
Can
midterm elections.
Can you read the White House?
I don't know. Well, you know,
I
don't like that term raid. I know Trump uses it because they were executing a legitimate government or court-issued search warrant.
Mm-hmm.
That's hardly a raid. That's doing it the right way. A raid would be I bang, knock down your door and yell, I'm here, and start searching through your stuff.
Didn't they bang down the door there?
No, they didn't.
All right, 1-800.
They knocked.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You're listening to On the Mark. We're wrapping up, but we'll take some speedy dialers for the final segment of the show. 1-800-795-9565. Earlier, we had Stephen Portnoy on that talked about the timing of the Mexico trip, which was planned for a year or so, but that the tipping point has come for the number of migrants who have crossed the border illegally. Many have been turned away, but many have gotten into the U.S. successfully and are making their way to various cities and so on. The gas stoves ban is being considered in the U.S. I'm not sure why we need a ban. I like Joe's advisory idea. Those are the topics we talked about so far. So what's your view on these? 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You know, what's interesting, Mark, is the Republicans have, and have not much coverage, have adopted new sets of rules for the House. And some of the things they've done, they've cut pay-go and used cut-go instead. Republicans killed the Democrats' pay-as-you-go rule, often shorthanded as pay-go. It required legislation that would add to the deficit to be offset with tax increases or spending cuts. The GOP has replaced PAYGO with what it's calling CUTGO, which requires mandatory spending increases to be offset only with equal or greater decreases in mandatory spending.
Well, that's ridiculous.
No new taxes allowed. The GOP last put this into place in the 112th Congress. We'll see if they live by that, okay?
Well, that is not the way to go in Congress. We must borrow from our great-grandchildren.
Then they're now requiring a supermajority on taxes. House Republicans' historically slim majority will, in its rules package, constrain itself severely on tax rate increases, requiring a three-fifths supermajority vote to pass any. So three-fifths are going to have to vote to increase taxes.
Well, nobody's going to raise any taxes.
And the package purges the Democrats' so-called Gephardt rule, which had allowed the House to automatically send a measure extending the debt limit to the Senate when it adopts a budget resolution. That maneuver has been used to let the House avoid a direct vote on lifting the debt ceiling. And that's going to be the big issue coming up here, whether or not the Republicans allow the debt ceiling to be lifted.
Right. Well, maybe it won't be a big fight. We thought the rules adoption would be a big fat fight, and it went relatively smoothly.
Yeah, it did.
Yesterday. Cindy, you're on the mark. You want another minute. Please, go right ahead.
I do. Do you remember, first of all, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't for the last 2 years the Democrat Party have control of the House, the Senate, and the White House?
Yep.
Right.
And so they could pass any bill they wanted.
Yeah, but they couldn't agree on the things.
Well, they couldn't they didn't have 60 votes in the Senate, so they couldn't pass anything.
Well, they could with
the
Vice
President.
Why
didn't they raise taxes? Do you remember the screaming and carrying on that went on when they cut the taxes under President Trump?
Yep.
And the anguish, the humanity, the carrying on. Why didn't they, the day they got there, go right at it and raise the taxes? And especially on those heinous wealthy people. Go right after them, by God, raise their taxes through the roof. Did they raise anyone's taxes?
No,
not that I'm aware of.
But they couldn't agree
on
anything.
Call in and point that out to me. So this is all bluster and bluff. It's just like we're going to take away your college debt. It's a cruel hoax. This has gone on for decades now, a cruel hoax that this one party carries on and beats their chest about something like the Democrats and taxes. Twice now they've been outraged about it, and twice now they've done nothing about it. They could have raised the taxes substantially under President Obama, did they? Remember, he had that big speech with the banks, and he wagged his finger under their noses?
All right.
Raise the taxes on the banks?
Thank you.
A bunch of hypocrites.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Going back to what we were talking about, and this one is, I think, the most interesting, the Oversight Committee. To make good in their pledge of more federal government accountability, Republicans are requiring every committee to submit a plan for authorization and oversight to the Oversight and House Administration Committee by March 1st. They also want a full accounting of any unauthorized federal programs and agencies that received funding in the last fiscal year. The rules package further requires committees to weigh whether any program should be moved from mandatory funding to discretionary funding, which would force that spending out of an automatic process every year and into one controlled by lawmakers. The House Appropriations, Ethics, and Rules Committees are exempt from that mandate. I don't think they should be, but that's a good mandate.
Well, we have to borrow from our great-grandchildren. Have I mentioned that lately?
Yes, you have. You've mentioned it quite consistently.
Yeah, I think it's when we talked about some of the things that Congressman Perry wanted to do. You know, there's like, there's this terrible pariah that's among the Freedom Caucus, and they're dragging us down. What are their terrible requests? That we have a balanced budget, we don't overspend, that we seal up the border. I'm like, wait a minute.
These are common sense things, really.
Why don't the rest of the Republicans want them?
But they do. I mean, that's the kind of thing they are going to do now.
They say, anyway.
Well, I hope they do them. And I like the idea of the Oversight Committee requiring the committees to have a plan. You know, how do we oversee what you're doing? How are we going to work this?
We have to impeach this onerous Scott Perry who wants a balanced budget. Come on.
Yeah, what's wrong with him?
Run him out of town on a rail. All right. Hey, we'll do this again tomorrow. We've got open phones scheduled. We'll get some candidates in here in the months ahead. So we'll start to hear from different people running for different offices. We may hear from the good candidate running in the 27th district as well. The Democratic candidate wants to come on the radio. So we'll get that scheduled as well. We thank you for putting up with us. This is News Radio 1070 WDKOK Sunbury.